Welcome to episode 1385 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Jesus offers a beatitude that reveals the fullest expression of the sixth commandment.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Notice what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who avoid violence. He does not say, blessed are those who follow the rule against murder. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. This is the move from negative to positive, from do not murder, or thou shalt not kill, to actively make peace, from avoiding harm to cultivating life, from mere obedience to commandments to becoming someone who gives life. The peacemaker is not passive. The peacemaker is not simply waiting to avoid doing harm. The peacemaker is actively working to heal broken relationships, to resolve conflict, to restore what has been fractured. And Jesus says this person, this active peacemaker, will be called a child of God. This is the highest calling, the work most reflective of God's character, the fullness of what it means to be human. The sixth commandment begins with prohibition. You shall not murder. This is essential, establishes a boundary, protects life from violence. But prohibition alone is not the full commandment. The full commandment calls us to something more. It calls us to actively protect and promote life. Think of the difference between a parent who simply forbids their child to hit a sibling and a parent who teaches their child to care for that sibling, to protect them, help them flourish. The first prevents harm. The second cultivates life. Similarly, the sixth commandment forbids murder. But it also calls us to cultivate peace, calls us to restore relationships, calls us to protect the vulnerable, calls us to build communities where life flourishes. This is the movement from obedience to transformation, from following rules to becoming a certain kind of person, from avoiding evil to actively doing good. Peacemaking begins with understanding. A peacemaker does not immediately judge. A peacemaker seeks to understand what has caused the conflict. What pain is present? What fear? What legitimate needs are not being met? Peacemaking requires vulnerability. A peacemaker is willing to acknowledge their own role in conflict. A peacemaker does not simply blame the other person. Such a person asks, "What have I done? How have I contributed? Where have I been wrong?" Peacemaking involves bridge building. A peacemaker looks for common ground, finds shared values, shared humanity, shared goals. A peacemaker works to help each party see the humanity in the other. Peacemaking requires patience. Conflict does not resolve quickly. Relationships do not heal overnight. A peacemaker stays in the discomfort, does not give up. Peacemaking often requires sacrifice. A peacemaker may need to let go of their desire to be right, may need to forgive what seems unforgivable, may need to absorb cost to restore relationship. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
As far as it depends on you. A peacemaker does everything in their power to restore peace. A peacemaker does not wait for the other person to move first, but takes initiative. One of the most important expressions of the sixth commandment is protecting those who cannot protect themselves. The vulnerable include children, the elderly, the poor, those with disabilities, those facing discrimination. These are people whose lives are threatened not by individual murders, but by systems of neglect, by structural injustice, by being rendered invisible. There are many values to protect the vulnerable. Speak up when they are harmed. Make their suffering visible. Refuse to let them be forgotten or dismissed. Create systems that protect them. Ensure they have access to healthcare, education, shelter. Ensure they are not exploited or abused. Include them. Make sure they have a place in community. Make sure they are heard and know they matter. Advocate for their rights. Work politically and socially to change laws and systems that harm them. Listen to their voices. Do not decide for them what they need, but hear from them what they need. Jesus models this repeatedly. He spends time with those society marginalizes. He heals the sick, welcomes children, talks to women in a culture where women are devalued. Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. He is constantly with the vulnerable, protecting them, affirming their worth, and he calls his followers to do the same.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you invited me in, I needed clothes and you clothed me, I was sick and you looked after me, I was in prison and you came to visit me."
The protection of the vulnerable is central to what it means to follow Jesus. It is central to what it means to obey the sixth commandment. One of the most powerful ways to give life is to restore broken relationships. A broken relationship diminishes life. Reconciliation restores it. This can happen in families where people are estranged, can happen in communities where division has taken hold, can happen between nations, between ethnic groups, between any people separated by conflict. There are several things restoration requires. Acknowledge what happened. Do not pretend the harm did not occur. Name it. Take responsibility for your part. Do not blame the other person entirely, but look at what you have done. Express remorse. Genuinely grieve the harm caused. Do not perform sorrow, but actually feel it. Make amends. Do what you can to repair the damage. Change behavior. Prove through action that you are different. Offer forgiveness. Release your right to revenge. Choose to move forward. Rebuild trust. Through consistent behavior over time, prove you can be trusted again. This work is hard. It is slower than simply walking away. It requires far more vulnerability than cutting off contact, but it is the work that gives life. It is the work that restores what was broken. It is the work that heals.
Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift.
Reconciliation is so important that Jesus says, "Stop your religious practice. Stop your worship. Go restore the relationship first. Then come back and worship." The fullest obedience to the sixth commandment is not merely avoiding murder. It is becoming someone who actively gives life. Someone who creates conditions where others can flourish. Someone who builds up rather than tears down. Someone who restores what has been broken. God calls you to be a life giver. Consider what that means. A peacemaker who works to heal conflict. A protector of the vulnerable who ensures they are safe and valued. A restorer of broken relationships who pursues reconciliation. A healer who tends to physical, emotional, and spiritual wounds. A builder of communities where life flourishes. A speaker of life who affirms and encourages. A witness to the value of every human being. A person shaped by the recognition that every life bears God's image and deserves protection and care. This is not something you are born as. This is something you become through practice, through intention, through the shaping work of the Holy Spirit. The sixth commandment forbids murder, but it calls us to something greater, calls us to become people who give life, who protect life, who restore life, who cultivate conditions where all people can flourish. This is the movement from rule following to transformation, from external obedience to internal orientation. From avoiding evil to actively doing good. When we become life givers, we are not just obeying a commandment. We are reflecting God's character. We are becoming children of God. We are participating in God's work of redemption and restoration in the world. This is the fullness of the sixth commandment. Not merely the absence of violence, but the presence of life. Not merely the avoidance of harm, but the active cultivation of flourishing. Not merely following rules, but becoming a certain kind of person. One shaped by the conviction that every human life is sacred and worthy of protection and care. Father, help us move beyond merely avoiding harm to actively cultivating life. Help us become peacemakers who work to heal conflict and restore broken relationships. Help us become protectors of the vulnerable, ensuring they are safe and valued. Help us become builders of communities where all people know they matter. Help us become healers and restorers and life givers. Help us understand that the fullness of the sixth commandment is not negative. It is profoundly positive. It calls us to actively protect and promote the flourishing of all human beings. Help us become people shaped by the conviction that every life bears your image and is worthy of our fierce protection and care. And help us reflect your own life-giving character as we work to restore, heal, and build. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.